Tandem Nomads, Episode 1.
I always wanted to do something for myself. I just didn't know what that was. Moving to Oman was an opportunity, even though when I got there, I felt a bit isolated and unsure of my path and all of that. But at the end of the day, it was an opportunity for him as well for me.
Welcome to Tandem Nomads, where inspiring expat partners from around the world share with you how they turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. Every Monday, you will be able to hear their stories, and every Thursday, I will bring to you great insights, tips, and advice on specific topics and challenges of relocation. So are you following your partner abroad for his or her career? Do you feel the need to build your own source of accomplishment besides being a great partner and a great parent? Then Tandem Nomads is the place for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter. Hello, Nomad Nation. This is Emel Deregi. So excited to bring you our featured guest today, Nicola Henderson Hall. Nicola, are you ready for this ride?
I am. How are you today, Emel? Are you good?
Very good. Thank you. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure to meet you. Thank you for having me. It's very exciting.
Nicola is a third culture child, but also a third culture adult. She spent all her life in expatriation. Nicola lives now in the United Arab Emirates. There, she hosts the Learning Curve podcast, a great show where you can discover the fascinating stories of inspiring women entrepreneurs in the Middle East and North African region. Back in 2011, Nicola hosted a radio show in Muscat on the radio channel Merge and called Moms on Monday, a weekly morning show covering mother and child related topics. She left the show in the summer 2013 and she moved back to the United Arab Emirates for her husband's job. So Nicola, this was a very brief summary of who you are. Tell us more about your story and what is happening in your world today.
Well, yes, I grew up here in the United Arab Emirates. I live in the capital, Abu Dhabi. I am British. I was originally born in Aberdeen in Scotland. And when I was a baby, my father was in oil. So we moved out to Abu Dhabi. He was offered a 2-year posting, and my mom said 2 years and that's it. And 2 years is nearly 40 years later. Yeah. So, and I'm married now. I met my husband through school. He's also a third culture child, and we had our first daughter. We only have one daughter, Jessica, and she was born in Muscat in Oman when we moved there in 2008. So that's my story. I am a podcaster. I actually, career wise, I've kind of fallen into this. My dad once said to me, "You have a great voice for radio. Why don't you pursue it?" And I thought he was joking. But lo and behold, actually, oddly enough, that path did happen. Maybe he saw something I didn't. And so now I'm into podcasting and I interview women entrepreneurs in the MENA region, Arab and expatriate, to put a voice to some of these amazing women out there that don't always get coverage because, you know, it's quite a patriarchal society, the Middle East, and there are some amazing women out there and I want to give them a voice and put them out there and put a stamp on the Middle East that, you know, we have some incredible women in this region.
Nomad Nation, if you have any interest in the MENA region, you should really, really listen to this podcast. Nicola has put together amazing interviews with women entrepreneurs in the region, and it's quite fascinating. So The Learning Curve, check it out. Nicola, did you have any hesitations when you decided to move with your husband to Oman?
No, we were quite excited by the opportunity. I had lived in Oman briefly as a child, so it wasn't somewhere I wasn't unfamiliar with. But it was unfamiliar because now I was an adult and I was pregnant as well. So we were moving house, moving jobs and pregnant all at the same time. So it was kind of a hormonal hurdle in some ways. So I was a bit hesitant, but my parents were literally a four-hour drive away. And the things I was probably more hesitant about was starting a new life and what do we do and how do we do it, all the questions that you have. And but we got on with it. You know, my husband and I are a pretty good team. We balance each other out. We're pretty much a yin and yang situation. So we made it happen.
Do you remember that moment where you made the decision to change your life? Can you tell us the story?
He just got the job offer, and we were sitting on the computer in our office, and we just looked at each other and went, let's do it, you know? And we both smiled at each other, and we went out for a drink that night to celebrate our decision, because it was a really big decision, I suppose. Looking back, it doesn't seem, but at the time, you know, it was changing countries. We were newly married. We had a baby on the way.
Did you have a job or a professional activity before you had to move the first time and take this big decision?
I was working. I worked for a property company. I was in marketing and franchising, and it was a fine job. I enjoyed it. Looking back, I now know that that's not my personality. You have to go through that learning curve. I always wanted to do something for myself. I just didn't know what that was. Moving to Oman was an opportunity, even though when I got there, I felt a bit isolated and unsure of my path and all of that. But at the end of the day, it was an opportunity for him as well for me.
If you're in a networking party and people ask you, what do you do? What is your answer in 30 seconds?
I tell them that I'm a podcaster and that I run a show here in the Middle East where I interview inspiring women entrepreneurs in the region in order to help other women in this region create their own stories. And that seems to engage people, because people do love, they love stories about being inspired, getting direction, maybe taking something out of it for themselves. So that's what I briefly, in 30 seconds, tell them.
Yes, this is exactly what we're trying to do here, Nicola. Inspire people and help them find their way to reach their goals and their dreams. And this is what I love about your podcast, and I'm willing to do here with Tandem Nomad. So we definitely have a strong common value that we're sharing here together. I really like that you mentioned your relationship with your husband as a yin and a yang, as a team. So could you tell us more and tell us which role does each of you in your tandem take during a time of transition or change? And how do you support each other in the move?
Well, I found actually we've moved twice since we got married. What I found is we take on very much, we have like a project management type of plan, which has checklists and things. And I often find it that in Justin's case, he goes to work. You know, he has to get on with getting involved in his job. And I get involved in making up our life here and starting creating connections, find out where shops are, where the schools are, learning the map, the maps of, you know, the roads, where they all are. So that's how we kind of plan our way about and get things done. And then he tells me maybe to go and look at some other things, and I tell him what he should be doing in the office sometimes. So yeah, we kind of we make it work. You know, you never know what you're walking into as an expat person. You know, you just have to just be open and just go for it and work together. And if you can, you know, if you find that you could be an argumentative couple, it does make things more difficult. And you have to be able, you have to be tolerant of each other's feelings at that time, I would say, because it's changed for both of you. And at the end of the day, you are still individuals. You know, you might love each other, but we all know in relationships there's up and downs, you know, and when you're up, he might be down, or the other way around. And you just have to manage that, particularly when country change is on the cards.
Yeah, that's true. So now, Nicola, take us to the moment in time. Try to describe that moment to us that you consider as your toughest experience living abroad.
When I went to Oman, I finished my job and we got married and I was pregnant and we were moving with him. And I got there, and of course now I didn't have any job. I was just mum. And I, you know, full respect to being mum, but I didn't know who I was anymore. I was like, okay, what do I do? What should I do? And Justin would come home from work I still didn't know a lot of people, and I had this young baby, and I was on my own. And he'd be like, "What's wrong now?" And I'd be like, "I don't know. I don't know. I just don't feel right." And I was just down. I just didn't know what to do with myself, and I didn't know who I was and what I was supposed to be. And for Justin, it was fine. He had a job. He had a title. He went to work. He did his thing. He came home. And I was like, well, who am I? What am I supposed to do? I then started the Muscat Where Can I Find group. And that sort of, starting that changed my path. Because suddenly I had something responsible. I had a community to start thinking about. And that led into my radio show. Because my community, lots of people were starting to use it. People were talking about it. People would talk to me and go, "I love your group." And then I started going on the radio. You get to create your own path. And I have. And it's been fantastic.
Thank you, Nicola, for sharing this story. And you did it so well. So I will ask you to tell us another story. Tell us the story of one particular moment when you experienced your biggest culture shock or culture misunderstanding.
It's probably kind of weird because I grew up here in the UAE. So I'm kind of very much culturally aware. So when I was thinking about this question, I was thinking, okay, well, when have I felt, you know, with the lack of misunderstanding? And I have to say, when I went back to university in the UK, which is where I'm from, you know, so it was going back to where I'm supposed to feel completely connected and completely rooted. But instead, I felt a complete disconnect between who I was and being British and being part of that, but being grown up in my UAE culture and environment. I went back to university and I was like, I don't understand how what's happening in these people's minds. And I was also quite naive, I suppose, as well. And so I was very misunderstood. I was misunderstood as a person, but I was misunderstanding people that I should completely connect with, but we weren't. And that would probably be a particular experience in my life, which is probably not the same as other people's cultural experiences, but it's kind of the same thing, but a flip for me. And it took me a long time to settle back in the UK for university. I didn't settle straight away. But when I finished my degree 4 years later, I left. I was very happy to leave the UK, you know, which is probably the positive side of it for me, because I was going home to what I understood and was my own culture. So
that's really interesting, this culture shock that a lot of expatriates actually do experience when they go back home. But for those who don't experience it, could you help us a little more imagine what it is by describing a moment? Give us more details. Is there like a particular memory that you have that you could describe as where you felt that culture shock?
I was sitting with people that I went to university with, and I would explain my day, a day in my own life, and they were confused. You know, they were asking me all the questions about the culture here, you know, that you have to cover up and you can't drink alcohol and all these misconceptions that exist about this part of the world. And I was like, it's a very open, tolerant place. And they just didn't quite understand. And maybe it's my own fault. I probably didn't spend enough time expressing it and sharing more. But at the same time, when people are looking at you strangely, when you're 19 and a bit naive, you're kind of like, okay, well, I think I'll be quiet now.
So what have you learned from all of this?
I think tolerance, open-mindedness, and just be open to the possibilities of what could happen in any situation. You know, there's lots of things that take place in people's lives. But I think for me, when I was 19, I think I was quite naive and I wasn't as open-minded as probably what I am. Open-minded in a positive way. But I'm more aware of people and how they react. And I watch body language, and then I can help gauge how they are and how they're sort of relating to what I'm saying. So openness, definitely.
What would be one of your weaknesses or habits that you would like to change?
Yes, too many ideas.
How is that a weakness?
How is that a weakness? Because I like to do lots of things. I'm one of these people that jumps from idea to idea, and focusing in is one thing I'm working very hard on at the moment. You know, you can be a, what's that expression? You can be a jack of all trades and master of one or two or something like that. So I'm actually working on focusing on one thing. So that's my weakness. You know, as an expat, I suppose, you are open to many different opportunities and ideas, and from that you have to select what works best with your personality and who you are, and I'm still learning that.
I don't think it's that bad to have so many ideas. That's the great thing about being creative. But where I certainly agree with you is that it's very important to focus on one step after the other, not trying to do everything at the same time, because then we get overwhelmed and
it's true.
We put all the chances to not make things happen. So tell me now, what is your biggest strength?
I would say, based on my experience, is listening. It's probably one of my skill sets, though it doesn't appear like that right now because I'm doing most of the talking, but listening, being relatable, being adaptable. You know, when I meet other expats that are new to the place, they feel quite insecure. They feel unsure of their surroundings and where they're going and what's next. But plus, they're also very excited. So I do find one of my strengths is the ability to sort of connect with them and give them that sense of comforting, I suppose, make them feel more at ease with where they are and give them a direction. I have two Facebook groups, one in Muscat and one in Abu Dhabi. And the one in Muscat is called Muscat, Where Can I Find? And the other one's called Abu Dhabi, Where Can I Find? They're Facebook groups, and they've become community portals, I suppose, for finding what you're looking for in your city. And I often use those tools. Say, hey, you know, don't feel like you're a fish, a lonely fish in a bowl. Connect with my group. There are lots of people there that are the same as you, that have the same questions and thoughts and ideas. Ask your questions. Feel free to ask whatever question you want. And so I think that has been a big strength for me, is be able to connect with people, make people feel at ease at where they are, and then give them the tools or more tools to help them find their way. Because at the end of the day, people don't want to be reliant on someone all the time. They want to be self-sufficient. They want to be independent. So if you give them just a few tools to get started, they will find more tools as they go along their journey.
What I love about what you just shared here is how you turned one of your skills into a great opportunity. And you do have this talent of listening and sharing, and you turned it into an opportunity for you to create something meaningful, but also an opportunity for other people to help them and support them in their transition. I found this really great. So could you tell us a bit more and tell us how you got this idea of starting these Facebook groups?
Yeah, when I moved to Muscat, Muscat is a beautiful city, and I loved living there. But I had when Jessica was born, it was, you know, 45 degree heat outside, and I was just too tired, and it was too hot to take a young baby out. So I needed to still find things. So I just, because Facebook groups were starting off, I just created this group called Muscat, Where Can I Find? I added in, I sent it to about 11 friends and said, hey guys, I've created this group. Let's ask our questions here and help people find what they're looking for. And it's 5 years old, that group now, and it's got nearly 25,000 members.
25,000 members, Nomad Nation. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's been a great success. People coming into the country, people leaving the country, Muscat, Where Can I Find is always on everybody's lips. And it's the same here in Abu Dhabi. There are more groups here in Abu Dhabi, but I found with my own group that it's the same principle, and people feel plugged in. They don't feel isolated. They feel they can sit at home and find direction and plan their day and get things done.
So just in case our Nomad Nation would be interested in your Facebook pages, could you tell us again what are the names of those Facebook pages?
If you're going to Muscat, if you're going to Oman and you want to, you know, find more, even if you want to go there on holiday, the group is called Muscat, Where Can I Find? And even you can find my name, I'm linked to it. But I also have, in the two other cities of Oman, I have Soha, Where Can I Find? And Salalah, Where Can I Find? And these are the sister cities to Muscat. But they provide people, you know, where can they find a tailor? You know, where can I go on? Where's a great place to go? Which beach should I go to? It depends on what's going on in your life. But people ask all sorts of questions.
Wow. Three Facebook pages. How much time does it take you to take care of all these groups?
I have a team that helps me as well, because 25,000 obviously is a massive number. And, you know, we don't allow advertising in the group. And sometimes advertisers use the space because it's such a niche space. So I have a team of four other people that help me look after the group to keep it in check. And we have guidelines. We wrote down guidelines, and people, most, you know, 95% of the time people follow it. They are just out to achieve whatever it is they want to achieve that day.
What is the biggest change you had to manage in your life abroad, and how did you do it?
I think the biggest part is you know, you see these cities and you think they're so exciting, but I think the hardest part is creating connections early. You know, change is all well and good, but to go next to it, you need people. You need that socialization factor. And, you know, when you move somewhere, you do feel a bit isolated and a bit afraid, and you don't know anybody, and you will have moments of loneliness and down days that you just think, God, why did I move, you know? Not because the job isn't good or the place isn't great, it's just you internally feel that way. So for me, I try to connect with people. You know, I went to some coffee mornings, I enjoyed some Facebook groups, other Facebook groups, and said, hey, you know, I'm new, can anybody help me with this, and this? And dealt with change that way. It's hard. Change is hard, you know. And if you, change is also a mindset. You know, if you're a person that doesn't like change, or a person of habit, that's hard. You know, you in your own life, you have your routines. You have the places you go for lunch. You have the places you go for breakfast. You're shopping. You know where to get everything. And then suddenly you go somewhere, and all of those questions are unknown. You know, and for some people that can be quite exciting, you know, an opportunity. Wow, I've got to go find a new restaurant. But then for other people, it's not such an exciting thing, because they want to get their lives up and running very quickly. So I think if you're ever going to do this, give your, I, 6 months, the first 6 months is always the hardest. But I actually think to feel settled where you are can take up to 2 years, depending on who you are, the type of person that you are. And for me, moving back to Abu Dhabi, I reckon it's nearly 2 years now we've been back here. And only now, you know, we found the right house that we're living in. My daughter's made friends. I've made some friends. We've got our lives working and turning over. And only now am I starting to feel like I'm settled.
Share one personal habit that you have and that contributes to your success and happiness abroad.
I would actually say exercise. When you move countries, there has to be a part of you that stays the same. There has to be a bit of you that links you to all these countries. And for me, that's exercise. I did my exercise routine in Dubai. I did my exercise routine in Muscat, and I'm doing it here. And for me, that's kept a sort of grounding. That's part of my personality. For me, that's what would be my habit that has kept me going. You know, after I've exercised, my mind feels fresher. My thoughts are more positive. My outlook is stronger. So throughout the changes, that's been one thing for me that I've kept the same.
Exercising, very good. This is actually one of the most simple ways that I can think of applying a rule that I might bring quite often during these episodes, bring you tips of how to manage change and transition. I believe very strongly that it's very important to build a routine that does not depend on our environment and where we live and on the people who are around us. And exercising is one of them. It only depends on us. There are some movements we can do in our bedroom. If we don't have a way to go out and we don't like exercising inside, maybe there's something else you can do, like meditation, like reading a few pages, whatever makes you feel comfortable and does not depend on your environment. So I think this is a really, really precious advice to keep in mind to manage with change. And Nicola, you've been doing this great by finding a way through exercising. Now tell us, what would be your biggest advice for Nomad Nation to make the best out of their experience abroad, to reach stability and develop a feeling of fulfillment?
There's a couple of things when I thought about this question. One, I would say visit that country if you can before you go there. I find a lot of people on my groups anyway, they'll say, I've never been to your country before. I'm becoming there in a month's time. Can you answer these questions? And you start to give them those answers and they kind of go, what? You know, and they get a bit nervous. So I would say go and visit the country. Definitely spend a week there. See if it's part of your personality, if the vibe of that city works with you. I'd also spend my time educating myself. You know, the internet is full of blogs, research, white papers, all sorts of stuff, property, all sorts of stuff. And go and talk to the people on the ground. And then join some Facebook groups, like Muscat, where can I find if you're going to go to Oman, you know. And talk to the people on the ground. Speak to the people. Get an insight into what their daily life is like, what's working, what they should be looking out for. And I think, and fourthly, is think about yourself what's your personality. Take a look at yourself. Are you able to deal with change? What kind of habits do you have that could cause you to suffer some kind of to start feeling isolated or lonely? Those kind of things, because change, moving countries, is tough. And as probably the mum, the wife, it's different for guys. Seem to just go with it. Women take a whole lot more baggage with them when they travel, you know. And, you know, women, we ask so many questions in our head. We look at lots of things. We're constantly questioning stuff. And so look at yourself as well. Take a moment to see if your mindset is ready for that change.
Nicola, we've been having a great ride through your journey. So before we say goodbye, let's go through the spinning round.
Oh, okay.
So tell me, what are your plans for the next coming years?
A couple of things. I want to develop my podcast. I want to start a few more podcasts, and I want to teach people in the region how to do podcasting for their business. But at the same time, I would like to move countries. So,
which terminology do you associate with most to describe your nomadic life?
First and foremost, a third culture kid would be the word that people get when I say that. And just a general expat, you know. I don't have a specific term, because even though you're an expat in a different country, you're still your own person. So,
do you have an internet resource like Skype that you found useful in your nomadic life?
I do. I also use Facebook groups a lot, very localized Facebook groups. I join expat communities, women websites. There's loads of websites out there that focus on women, that help women find each other in the city that they're in.
Okay. And which book would you recommend to tandem nomads?
You know, I don't have a book specifically, but I would recommend blogs. Going into the city that you're, or country that you're going to visit, you know, find local bloggers and ask them, you know, read their stories. They're their voices on the ground. Books, of course, you know, they have a publishing date and then, you know, they very quickly go out of date. So I would prefer to go onto the internet and read what the bloggers are saying, because they will obviously write with the time.
Interesting. Is there a blog that you follow particularly?
No, there's not. There's many. There is here in Abu Dhabi, there's Abu Dhabi Women. There's also the Expat Forum, Expat Women's Forum. I think that's the correct name. That's more as a localized thing, but I know they're going global. They have intentions to go around the world. It's focused on women. So that would be a great tool for anybody.
Before we say goodbye, is there a last piece of guidance that you would like to share?
If you're going to make the change, make it happen. Don't sit on it. You know, there's this thing, you know, people say, oh, I should have done that. I live with regret. Just go do it. You know, don't make a change in your life, but be prepared for the changes when you decide to go back to the place that you live as well, because that can be even harder.
This is a great advice. And now, if our listeners want to find you, where can they find you?
You can find me. My website is called thelearningcurvepodcast.com. That's my main website. But I'm also on Facebook as Nicola Henderson Hall. That's my full name. And I'm happy to talk to anybody that has advice or has thoughts they'd like to share. Happy to.
Thank you, Nicola. This was truly a great ride with you. Thank you for sharing your story on Tandem Nomads for Nomad Nation. Nomad Nation, don't miss any of the great inspiration, tips, and insights that will prepare just for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter.